This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan DeCube, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories. Plastic is a huge problem globally, but it's also something that we are all cognizant of, and we are changing the way that we deal with plastic, deal with day-to-day plastics, our food packaging, and sort of our thought process around how that affects our environment. I have Guy Cronier that's joining us on the Good Things Guy Jackpod, and he's from a company called Green Home, where sustainability is their passion, their vision, and their daily work. They exist to supply South Africa with a great range of environmentally friendly food packaging products in the best way that they can. Guy, it's great to have you on my Jackpod. Welcome to Johannesburg, I guess.
Thanks, Brent. Yeah, it's great to be here. It's chilly, but it's good to be here.
Can you tell me a little bit more about Green Home and why you guys exist?
Yeah, sure. So Green Home, as you said, is a company that supplies sustainable food packaging solutions. All of our products are 100% biodegradable, so they break down into natural compost, non-toxic compost, and that's possible due to the fact that they are made from plant-based raw materials. So essentially all of our products are made from plants so that they can enter back into the natural cycles of things and they can be biodegraded and turned into compost at the end of life.
So, I mean, this is a huge narrative right now, and it's global. Everybody's speaking about the fact that we need to be more environmentally conscious, and we're also speaking about the fact that plastic is a huge problem. How big of a problem is it in South Africa?
It's a major problem. I mean, South Africa's plastic consumption per capita isn't quite as big as, you know, a lot of the Western world. We're not as big as like the US or Europe at the moment. But one of a few major issues, firstly, is our waste management infrastructure. So basically, the biggest solution that we have at the moment is just to send everything to landfill, which is not the right thing to be doing.
Well, I guess there's a lot of, I'm a little bit different because I've been involved in sort of misearths and these sorts of things for the last couple of years. So I recycle and I try to recycle as best I can. But the average household, I guess, doesn't, right?
We actually, as South Africans, have a fairly good recycling rate due in large part to the informal pickers that come and separate waste for us and send that off to the recycling streams. But because of our, it's quite a complex situation, but because of our lack of waste management infrastructure, a lot of our waste that isn't sent to recycling ends up either in landfill or in environments where it shouldn't be, like the marine environments. In fact, South Africa has one of the worst marine pollution crises in the world at the moment. There was a study done a few years ago, and we ranked somewhere like 11th to 15th in the world.
The worst, yeah.
And that's like not far behind big countries like the US. We obviously have like a really big coastline, so it means that there's a lot of place for it to go, but it is a major, major issue that we have to deal with. And then just to go back to the recycling side of it, obviously recycling is a majorly important part of any waste management process, but it's not the silver bullet solution that a lot of people think it is, specifically to the single-use plastic crisis that we're facing. So, I mean, just to dumb it down as much as possible, essentially not all plastics are recyclable, so you can't just recycle all plastic, which a lot of people think that is the case. Also, of the plastic that is recyclable, when you recycle it, it generally degrades in quality. So all you're really doing is just prolonging the process before it gets to an environment where it shouldn't be. So it's not like it's forever a useful resource. And then there's also the cognitive or psychological side of recycling that a lot of people don't think about or talk about. And what I mean by that is that, you know, as consumers, we generally don't look to reduce our single-use plastic consumption because we think, oh, we can just recycle this. So we see it a lot with, you know, our choice of using a plastic straw or a plastic packet. We think, oh, we'll just do it this time because I haven't brought my cotton bag with me or I haven't got my reusable straw or whatever. And what I'll do is I'll just recycle this. And it doesn't have the effect of reducing our single-use plastic consumption.
Well, this narrative that's been created, and I've seen big brands now jumping on board. Obviously, you guys work in the food packaging side, but the straw thing is a huge, and I say narrative because it's one part that a lot of different fast food outlets and big chain franchises are concentrating on. Like, we've got rid of the straw. We're now doing paper straws. We want you to bring in your reusable straw. That's just one form of a single-use plastic, right? We are, every day we're faced with different types of the single-use plastic. Mm. In July, which was the plastic-free month, I tried to go plastic-free. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to walk into a Woolies or and to try and buy food. Mm. Everything's got plastic.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, that's why we focus on like the takeaway food industry. It's a major contributor to specifically single-use plastics. I mean, you can think about it. You'll go, you'll grab your burger or your coffee or whatever. You'll take it away with you, and you're never going to use that product again. So what we actually always say is that rather go reusable. It's a bit of a contradiction.
Because you've got to stimulate
sales, but we'd rather say, you know, go reusable. That's the best option. If you can't go reusable, though, rather go plant-based so that it can enter back and it's got a chance to enter back into the natural cycles that the earth has, you know, developed over millennia. So yeah, that's kind of one of the major reasons why we focus on the takeaway industry. And we are seeing a lot more consciousness around it and a lot of people talking about it and a lot of big retailers getting on board with it. But the thing is that us as humans have, we're so dependent on convenience. You know, we want everything to be as convenient as possible. Plastic was started to be mass produced about 70 years ago or so. And there's been such a steep increase in the manufacturing and production of plastic.
I'm interrupting, but is that because it's cheap to produce whatever you need? And also you can literally make whatever you want out of it.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that plastic is really good at what it does. It keeps food fresh. It's got a lot of utility or whatever. The problem is, though, we're sacrificing long-term sustainability for a short-term solution. And we've got to look at different ways of doing things, essentially. So, yeah, I mean, definitely you can't deny the fact that plastic is useful and does what it's designed to do, but it's not designed to break down. It's not designed to enter back into the systems. And that's where the problem lies.
Okay, so let me ask, your products that you have, what are they, first of all? So if I'm going into an establishment and I'm ordering, we're getting the paper straws. What about the container? Or what is it like? What does that look like? What about the cool drink or the coffee that I'm going to buy? Yeah. How does that all work?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got a very wide range. We've got a number of different products made up of different raw materials. The best thing to probably do, and the easiest way, is just to go look on the website and check out our range. We've got an online shop you can buy there as well. But essentially, any single-use food product that you can think of. I mean, we've got bagasse containers, which is a substitute to polystyrene, like those clamshells. We've got bagasse plates. We've got coffee cups lined with PLA instead of plastic. We've got the lids for coffee cups. We've got PLA cold cups, the paper straws. We've got a whole craft range. We've got brown bags and greaseproof paper. So, like, we've got a really, really big spread of products that people can choose from.
My question to follow, and that's where I was going with this, price-wise, like, does it make it more expensive? Because we're being eco-warriors, does that mean that we need to spend more?
Yeah.
And in such, then, you know, you walk into a fast food chain and then your food becomes more expensive because the packaging is more expensive because we want to be more environmentally friendly. Mm. It sounds like a first world problem.
Yeah.
But is that the case?
It is a reality that we've got to talk about and confront. I mean, it depends again on what the materials that are making up the product are. A number of the materials, I mean, some of the stuff is cheaper than a plastic alternative, and some of it is a bit more expensive. But on a whole, I think it's fairly comparative. And the question is rather like, can we afford not to be doing this? You know, like, the costs are coming in ways that we haven't imagined before, and we need to take those into consideration. The other thing to also consider is that the more that this becomes mainstream, the cheaper these products are going to become. You know, it's economies of scale. If there's a market there, people are going to set up the infrastructure to start producing it. You know, if you think about plastic, and I'm not an expert on plastic, but you have to mine for fossil fuels. You have to extract it from, you know, deep down in the earth. And, like, surely that must be a really expensive process as well. But people are buying it at such volumes that I'm assuming that it's the economies of scale means that it's a lot cheaper. Again, I'm not an expert on that, but it makes sense in my head. So, yeah, I mean, it depends on the product. Some of them are slightly more expensive. Some of them are cheaper or comparative. But we've got to look at the long-term outcome. And the more we use these products, the cheaper they will become. Because this is becoming such a big part of the world's consciousness and it's so much on the forefront, consumers are willing to pay more for it, you know. And if you can, as a business, promote the fact that you're going sustainable, people are willing to support you. And they're actually turning their back on places that aren't doing that. And we see it in the retail space in a big way, doing away with the plastic packets and people purchasing reusable or purchasing paper. They're willing to do that because they understand that it's a more viable solution.
Completely. On the 1st of July, The Woolworths down the road from our house went completely plastic free. So they don't allow plastic bags anymore. And you have to buy the material. They've got like a cheaper material option that you're able to put your groceries in. But they just went, we're done. Like it's a one way that we can make a change. And you guys are just going to have to fit in. Bring your bags.
Exactly. Yeah. It just becomes part of our, you know, our life.
It's habit. But what I was saying was, when I think about the plastic problem in South Africa, I think about a couple of months ago when we had that huge storm down in Durban and the harbor was just filled with cool drink bottles. Yeah. It's like, I don't know where they came from, but all of a sudden the entire harbor was filled with this plastic problem. And then what had to happen is volunteers and companies had to spend a lot of time and money to clean that up because we couldn't leave it like that. Like, there's no way that the marine life would have survived. There's no way that you can just get rid of it. And to me, that highlights how bad the problem is, is that there's literally plastic everywhere.
I mean, it's a huge problem. I mean, it wouldn't have got this much exposure if it wasn't a problem. And we've all got a role to play in fixing it, specifically corporates and the private sector. And one thing that we're realizing working with a number of corporates and businesses is the positive effect that adopting sustainable practices and systems like that is having on the employees and the work culture. People are wanting to be more sustainable, you know, and they're spending so much time at work. If that place isn't allowing you to be, you know, an eco warrior or whatever, it's very hard to maintain that kind of lifestyle. So the companies that we work with are reporting back to us like the staff, the morale is really high. They feel like they're part of a company that's providing a solution instead of a, you know, part of the problem, which is really great to hear and something that we're very, very excited about. There's definitely a big part that corporates and business needs to play in leading change in this arena. But it starts with us as individuals. Like, we have the power to request this kind of stuff and put it forward and look for solutions. And the more noise we all make, the more it'll be implemented.
You speak a little bit about the change and how companies are jumping on board. Is it big enough to start looking at this and going, actually, the change is big and the end to the plastic problem is in sight?
I don't know about the end to the plastic problem.
This is the good thing, show. We got to be good, yeah.
Look, there's definitely a positive side to it, you know, like the fact that we're talking, you know, and you're giving us the platform to kind of speak about these issues. That's real positive. When my MD, Catherine Morris, started the company, I think it was in 2007, I mean, she fought for many years to try to bring these.
I'm trying to work out the timeline. That's like 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
World was very different back then.
Very different, you know, and it's only been, we're actually having a conversation about it the other day. It's only been in the last like 2 or 3 years that people are approaching us and being like, you know, we want you to chat about this and come speak about it. And so there's definitely that side of it, which is super positive. And we are seeing change, but obviously it needs to and can happen at a faster pace. But it is positive to see it happening.
I think so, from a consumer side as well, to see businesses making the changes. And I work in this space, so good news often gets delivered to me, and a lot of corporates want to speak about the fact that they are changing out their packaging or getting rid of straws or doing whatever they're doing to be those eco warriors and make a difference. The reality is that it's not just, and you've mentioned it, it's not just a corporate's problem, it's everybody's problem. We only have one Earth. That's all we have, and we need to start looking after it. Obviously, 70 years ago when the plastic boom happened, they didn't know what the consequences to that were going to be. We now understand. And when you know better, you do better. I think that's the sort of space that the world, the globe, South Africa, however you're going to look at it, that's the space we're in right now. And that excites me, is that there's so many people out there who actually are thinking differently about their purchasing decision-making processes.
And it's cool to see, like, you know, new technologies and new materials coming to the fore, because we're realizing that plastic is not a good material to be using. So we are seeing stuff that's coming out and that's, you know, is viable solutions that we're able to deal with them correctly at end of life and we can use them as a resource going forward.
I'm going to make a shameless plug here because I can and I love Lego. But Lego have just gifted me a set. It's their first set that is made out of plant-based plastic.
I don't
even understand how it is plant-based plastic. You would know better. But yeah, it's their first first main set that they've given me, and I was just mind blown that a big company like them, who works in plastic, are even making changes as well.
Yeah, I saw a headline for an article. I always have to be careful when I say to people, I've read an article about the.
I saw the headline.
I've seen the headline about XYZ. But I did see something about that. Yeah, I mean, I'd have to understand exactly what that material is, but it's great to see that they are moving that direction. You know, everyone loves Lego. It's a great, you know, educational.
I'm 34. Toy. I'm a big child adult. If people want to know more about Green Home, where do they go?
Cool, yeah. So we've got a website, greenhome.co.za, with an online shop, so you can literally go and purchase the products there, and a very active blog that we keep up to date on a very regular basis with a lot of interesting news about what's going on in the industry, cool stuff that we're doing and working on, and then also very, very active on social media. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, at GreenHomeSA. And yeah, you can go check us out there and sign up for our newsletter as well. So lots of different avenues. Yeah.
I'll say, doing research for today's show, I did go and read some of your blogs, and there is interesting stuff. You're speaking about the stuff that's happening right now in South Africa and the globe and the changes that people are making. I want to thank you for being on the Good Things Guy Jackpod. Obviously, we're all about the good news, and hearing that you're fighting for our environment and making the changes and making it easier for corporates to make the change is just incredible.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It was awesome to chat.
Wishing you guys only good things. I'm Brent Lindekew, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy, and you've been listening to Good Things Guy, a Jackpod podcast. For more episodes, or to subscribe, rate, or review my podcast, go to iTunes, Iona FM, or Google Podcasts. Be kinder than necessary to yourself and each other. Thanks, and only good things.